Let's turn to Luke chapter number 11 tonight. Luke chapter number 11. My family is nearby, so they will be taking care of the things that I normally take care of. We're always the last ones to leave, and that's okay. We've had people stay here till 1:30 in the afternoon and even close to 2 o'clock. And sometimes that fellowship and that talking to people needs to take place, so we don't mind that. And we lock up and turn the heat down and so on, so my family will be taking care of those things. And I'll be writing orders of service and have blanks as far as I'll let Brother Rob Hall pick the songs, and I'll let John Wilson pick the songs. But you must pick the songs that Delaney can play when Delaney is playing. And so that communication between Donna and yourselves and Delaney and yourselves needs to take place. So I believe from here on out, Miss Donna will be playing the morning and evenings. No, the morning services. The evening will be Delaney, and the Wednesday night Delaney. Is that correct? Okay, so that way we have that squared away. There's so many little details. Before the funeral, I took probably 2 hours just to think through the details of what has to happen. And then John was sitting back there, and I gave him what mic to turn on when, and our order of service coordinated, but he had more details than I had. And so I appreciate John doing that for me yesterday, and I appreciate Vern being back there tonight. And don't worry, Steve and Lindy, they're having a great time in Hawaii. Pray for them. I forgot to mention that this morning, but he sent me a picture. They looked so happy yesterday in sunny Hawaii, and so praise the Lord for that. And I always appreciate Steve doing a great job, and Vern being back there for me doing a great job. And so he gets frustrated with Apple too, so don't worry about it, all right? Mute is the answer sometimes. Just the mute button helps. And so Luke chapter number 11, let's stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll read verses 11 through 13. This is sort of a part two of what I had this morning. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And this is part two, though I might reference Psalm 27, but we're probably not going to go to it. So Luke chapter number 11, and boy, I tell you what, I'm having trouble with my eyes today, and I'm having trouble with my memory today. And that's a great sign that I need surgery, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'll have eye surgery. Verse number 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We have a corrupt nature. We have that sinful nature. And so he's saying, you being evil. And the only reason that we're not evildoers is because the Lord changes us, because he's our Father. And so he asked the question, are you going to give your son a serpent if he asks for a fish? Are you going to give him a scorpion if he asks for an egg? And how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What a precious promise here from God our Father. And he's reminding us, every father that is not on drugs, that is not on alcohol, has it in him to care for his kids. Amen. Just like a mother naturally cares for the kids. And when it doesn't happen, that means there's an evil influence there. Maybe they're inhabited by the devil, those that hurt their kids. Maybe they're inhabited by drugs and alcohol. But it's not natural. And he's reminding us, we are good fathers. I wouldn't give my son a snake, poisonous snake, if he asked for a fish. No way. I'm going to do good to them. How much more is our Father going to do good to us? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness to us. I pray you meet with us tonight. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that the message was received so well by so many. Thank you, Lord, just for guiding me in what to preach and teach. And I pray, Lord, that you would help the church to prosper. If I'm down for a couple of weeks because of surgery, Just bless each and every service, each and every speaker, and help everyone to be in their place. And I pray that you would continue to bless us with visitors, continue to bless us with those that would join the church, continue to bless us, Lord, in growing spiritually, and help us, I pray, tonight to hear you and to just lock in some convictions from the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So the message tonight, please be seated. Not only can you be sure, you can be confident. You know, sometimes the gospel tract will have the question, are you sure? Are you sure of heaven? How can you be sure of heaven? And we'll go into the gospel and we'll share that, and we'll go into the Romans road and we'll go into John chapter number 3 and we'll say you can be sure based upon the Word of God. We looked at the psalmist this morning at the end of verse 3. In this will I be confident. And then there's a period. There's not a colon or a semicolon. He ends the thought in verse 3. In this will I be confident. Goes back to verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And that brought confidence to King David. Even though he was severely persecuted by his own father-in-law, Saul, at many times, he was confident that God was his God. And even when he had sinned, we looked at the fact that not his salvation was restored, but the joy of his salvation was restored because God never took his salvation away. I've titled it, Not Only Can You Be Sure, You Can Be Confident, or Born into the Family. Born into the family. Salvation is a gift based on a promise, on the promise of God. We'll turn to several passages of Scripture. Let's begin by turning to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Right after 2 Timothy, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, verse 5. That's not correct. Verse 2. Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We can go from Genesis throughout the Bible and find the precious promises of God and how He is the Redeemer. But He tells us before the world began, He promised eternal life. Eternal life is based on the promise of God, not the duty of man, not the opinion of man, not the work of man. It is based on the promise of God. Amen? Amen. We looked at Luke 11, and he talks about us being fathers. And then he talks about how good our Heavenly Father is. So there's a relationship. Salvation is not anything else than relationship. So in other words, we don't enter into something based upon our works. We enter in by the new birth. Turn to John chapter number 3 with me. John chapter number 3. I know we looked at this morning, but I need to emphasize this because of the title of my message and where I'm going with this. John chapter number 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This morning I said it does not say born again and again and again and again, or get born again if you didn't read your Bible, or if you didn't go to church, or if you did this, or if you do that. Born again, singular, right? And so this tells us that we are entered into a relationship of God, here specifically in verse 3, the kingdom of God, through the new birth. We're born into the family. Nicodemus, a religious ruler, had no clue what Jesus was talking about. He says in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, some folks will take that out of context, specifically charismatics that are of the type of baptizing in Jesus' name only. And they'll take this out of context and they'll say, see, you've got to be baptized because it says water. No, it says nothing about baptism. Nothing at all. People get confused. It mentions water or baptism. We need to ask the question, if it talks about water, why am I confusing it with baptism? Or if it talks about baptism, is it talking about physical baptism in a church? Or is it talking about spiritual baptism from heaven? They're not one and the same. And yet people will read about baptism and they say, aha, see, I need to get baptized in order to go to heaven. No, that's a false teaching, and that's not what it's saying. Now look at this. Our King James Bible, I love it. I love it. It is so accurate. It is perfect. And it explains itself. Look at verse 5. Jesus explains it. Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Isn't that as clear as day? There's no baptism in there. He's talking about two types of birth. When we come into this world and the water from our mother's womb breaks and we enter into this world. And the second one is from above. And he goes on to explain that. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's not something that you see, but you see the result of being born again in a person's life. Amen? Let's go to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 26. Galatians 3, it's right before the book of Ephesians. For you young ones, my sons, if you go almost toward the end of the Bible, you will find it. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. See the word children there? That's relationship. The children of God in the family of God. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Then you're a child of God, and all that do so are the children of God, the passage of Scripture tells us. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, and look at verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Those of us that have been saved, maybe someone who just gets born again, I was asked the question, well, what happens if I mess up? What if I do something that I shouldn't do as a saved person? I said, well, the Holy Spirit of God, He's not going to knock you to the floor. He's not going to take your arms around your back and pump you until you're hurting and force you to the ground or force you not to do something. But I said, that still small voice that we have heard as born again children of God. And He says, don't do that. And it's like, what was that? And if you're not in tune, you'll be like, I don't know exactly what that was, but I'm just going to do what I want. As children of God, we still have free will. You can mess up as big as David messed up. Yeah. It's free will. But there's consequences to that. I can treat you in an ill manner, and there will be consequences of that. And we'll have a rough relationship, right? I can treat you like a heathen man. You'll say, what? Why'd you do that? Well, I don't know. There's my choice, I guess. So there's consequences, right? If you go rob a bank, there's a consequence to it. You're going to go to jail. It doesn't matter if you're saved. It doesn't matter if you know God as your personal Savior or not. If you rob a bank, you're going to jail. You're going to prison, actually. Right? But you have free choice to do that. If you want to be an idiot, bring a gun into the bank, you're going to go to prison. They're going to find you. You're not going to get away with it. consequences. But if you're a saved individual and you're planning that, the Holy Spirit of God is going to try to get a hold of you long before you ever step into that bank. Right? Children of God, a relationship. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness with us that lets us know you don't need to get saved again. You're already saved. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke chapter number 18. In verse number 16. But Jesus called them unto him. Luke 18:16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children. That means allow little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. That's a wonderful truth. Talks about relationship. God loves the little children. And we sing those songs. But it comes from this passage of scripture. The disciples were like, oh, children, stop bothering Jesus. And Jesus was like, they're not bothering me. You allow them to come to me because of such is the kingdom of God. Wow, what a wonderful truth that is. I had to put that in there. Let's go to the next point now. So, salvation is a gift based on a promise. We're born into the family of God, and over we are told we are the children of God by having our faith, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And then I want to show that it is not by works. Our salvation, us being born again, has nothing to do with our works, what we do, what the church does. It's not in communion. It's not in the baptistry. It's not in joining the church. It is not by works, period. So let's go to Galatians chapter 2 to begin with. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. See, if you're in the family of God, that means you're sinless as God is, because our sin, we cannot enter into heaven with our sin. We must be justified. We must be a child of God. And if we're a child of God, do you remember what they wanted to stone Jesus for? Because he declared himself to be the Son of God, which meant that he made himself equal with God. He was saying he is holy. He is without sin. And they wanted to stone him because of it. Well, we're a child of God. And if we're a child of God, that means that we are sinless and that we are justified and that we're in the family of God. As the Son is, so are we. That almost sounds presumptuous because it is so absolutely amazing that we would be looked at like the Son of God, just as if we've never sinned. What an amazing truth that is. Let's go to Ephesians. Turn forward in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 in verse 8 and 9. Actually, I want to go to verse 1 and 2 first, and then we'll go to 8 and 9. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now look at verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it is based upon a promise. We are born into the family. It is not by works. It is a gift of God. Go with me to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3, in verse 5, here we are told, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And again, we're not talking about baptism. We're talking about regeneration. That is, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and births our spirit so that now we are made alive, as we saw in Ephesians chapter number 2 in verse 1. So it's not by works, and by looking at that, we see in some places that it's by grace, but let's go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. So it's not by works, next point, but by grace. Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you don't want to believe God, and you want to work your way to heaven, you are a debtor. You're in debt. And you'll never get out of that debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? The grace of God by faith. Romans 5, verse 15 and 17. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Grace, grace, grace. Go with me to Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11. Now, we're told over and over it's not by works, that it's by grace. And yet some people will argue that it's a bit of both. And here in Romans 11:6, we learn that it cannot be. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Grace is not work. Work is not grace. And the two together is neither. Amen?
Amen.
It's by grace. Go with me to Galatians 2:21. We're getting to know Galatians a little bit. Galatians chapter number 2, in verse number 21. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Boy, isn't that plain and simple? Look at verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by my great faith. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't claim that I understand everything about when it talks about his faith. Jesus had the faith to die on a cross and to pay for our sin debt, and that he would raise from the dead, and the faith that some would believe in him is by his faith, not my great faith. He just simply asked, would you put your faith in Christ for salvation. After that, I will come into you, I will live in you, I will live through you, is by his faith. Amazing. What was Israel's mistake? Let's go to Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. Israel made a mistake when it came to Christ. And I'm generally speaking about the whole nation of Israel. We know that the disciples and others came to Christ, but as a whole, they rejected him, according to John 1. Romans 9 and 31 to 33. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They didn't come by faith. They tried to earn their salvation by keeping the commandments. And that's not why the commandments were written. The commandments were written as a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. But since they had self-righteousness, they thought, well, we're good. Look at us. We're keeping the commandments. Really? They didn't. But they thought that is what would get them to heaven. And it doesn't. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's look at the Jews and the Greeks. Let's look at the Jewish people, and let's look at ourselves, for those of us that are not Jewish. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we'll read verses 21 to 31. Follow along, 1 Corinthians. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Keep going. All right, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. What is America's downfall? Education is her God. Oh yeah. This higher learning that started years and years ago, and all these professors and liberalism, and if you don't get the higher education, you're really not worth as much. Oh yeah. That's a reality. The Greeks, it's about education. The cross, preaching, foolishness. And the Jews, they just want a sign. They could just have a sign, right? Jesus? Didn't they ask for a sign from Jesus? Told them, well, you get a sign, but that wasn't good enough. Where am I at? What verse? 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why when we give testimony of how bad we were before we were saved, don't pump it up too much. It's not about that. We're all sinners. Whether you're a child that got saved at a young age, or if you're someone who is boozing it and on drugs and whatnot, and you got saved after that, look, it's good to say, hey, I was down in the dumps and God picked me up, and by the grace of God, I'm saved. You don't have to glorify sin, because there's nothing to glory about there. But we give God the glory.
If somebody says, yep, I got saved, woohoo, man, I'm good. Wait a minute. Did I just hear that right? I've never heard somebody say that, but if I ever heard that, I'd be like, red flag, right? When you say red flag, I'd say red flag, because it's not you and I. It's not our goodness. It's not our works. It's by the grace of God. Israel made the mistake, and the Greeks, that is us, the Gentiles, think it's foolishness. God has to open our eyes to it to receive Jesus Christ. The glory belongs to God. Let's look at the protection of God as a child of God. Let's go to John chapter number 10. New Testament, fourth book, John chapter number 10. We'll read verses 26 through 30, and then I'll come back to one verse. John 10, 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. God keeps us safe and secure in his hand. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. In Bible times, it came, if he sent a letter, he would seal that letter with his ring. Dip it in ink, seal it, however they sealed it. If it was the king's symbol, it was not to be opened until it got there. And you knew it was corrupt if somebody had opened it before the person receiving it opened it. It was sealed. It was a assurance that this message is from the king and it has not been opened. It has not been compromised. Here in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, if I said different. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I liken it to this. My mom, my grandma, they always canned pickles and different things. And I know many ladies here do too. And boy, I'm enjoying that rhubarb jam. Has good stuff on toast and other things. I'm enjoying that. But I liken it to pickles. There's nothing that we as pickles could do to earn our salvation to get saved. When a lady cans pickles in a jar and they seal it, there's a way to seal it, isn't it? Don't you dip that thing upside down in hot water in order to seal it correctly? There's different ways of sealing it. I've seen it done that way. They probably have new jars, new systems. But I know this. Once that is sealed, those pickles will not undo the seal and jump out on the table. Right? We cannot undo our salvation because we are born into the family of God. Can you show me the verse that says you can be unborn? There's no such thing. It's like human beings, the human race, man. When a woman is expecting a child, there is no undoing that. Someone might say, well, you know, abortion. No, that child has a living heartbeat. That child will be going to heaven if that child dies. The Bible shows that children that don't have the opportunity to get saved, they're too young to even know, those children go to heaven, such as the kingdom of God. I'm sure that's part of what Jesus was saying. We see that there are some souls in the book of Revelation, and I'm sure that they wonder why they didn't have a chance to live for Jesus Christ on this earth. My point is, they can't be unborn. We can't be unborn, just as we can't be unborn in our relationship with God because we are the children of God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." We are kept by the power of God, not by our own strength, power, works, or anything else. Turn with me to one more passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Look at verses 1 and 2. We're born into the family of God. 1 John 3:1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Children of God, we're born into the family of God. You cannot be unborn. Too many people make the mistake of, well, I decided, like I said this morning, I decided to give my heart to Jesus. And then what happened? You walked away and Jesus said, "You need to receive me." You don't just give your heart to Jesus because your heart is filthy. My heart is filthy. Jeremiah 17:9, right? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we don't give our heart to Jesus and claim that that's salvation, because it's not salvation. We must be born again. We must receive Christ as our Savior. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God births us anew, and we become a child of God. Hallelujah for that. And you can never be unborn. That's the truth of the matter. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Are you born into the family of God? Not only can you be sure, you can be confident that you're a child of God. I didn't say arrogant, because it's not because of us. It's all because of him, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. If you've never been born again and you're under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, we're just people. We can misunderstand things. We can assume things. The devil sometimes blinds us to things. But if God wakes you up and he pulls back the veil, he pulls back the curtain so you can clearly see whether you're saved or not. And if you're not saved, everyone in this room that is, we're just cheerleaders for God. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And if you've had the idea that I'm going to work my way to heaven, or I'm going to be good enough to get to heaven, or I was born into a Christian home, repent of that. Change your mind on that and agree with God and be born again. And God will birth you into the family of God. You'll be a child of God forever. If my sons disappoint me, or if I've disappointed my dad, we might not talk for a little while because of that communication problem. But I've never been kicked out of the family. And I can't be unborn. I've got the blood of my family. I'm in the family. I was born into my family. I can never be undone. And when you're born into the family of God, that's never undone. So if you're here tonight, God's convicting you to be saved, no one looking but me, you'd say with an uplifted hand, "Pastor Penner, pray for me. I need to have the courage tell someone that I need to get saved. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I need to be born again. Is there anyone like that? So by that testimony, you're saying you're all saved. You've all been born again. If there is a communication problem between us and God, it's not God. It's us. So in the invitation, if you're not hearing from God, if you're meddling with doubt, just come, confess your sin, and He'll cleanse you, make your heart clean, give you a new spirit, and restore the joy of His salvation back, so that you have joy, and He'll take you back to that moment where you got saved.